Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. David Lowe. Dr. Lowe's been on the show several times talking about dreaming, his book on universal spirituality, and a number of other topics. If you go back to the archives, which is at www.plasticos.com, look under resources and radio, you'll see his shows there. We're going to talk today a little bit about lucid dreaming and alternative realities and how we can learn about these alternative realities through the dream work that we can do. First, Dr. Lowe is going to talk a little bit about his history and dream analysis and dream work and how he got interested in the subject.
Yeah, hi, everyone. This is David Lowe. Sure, thank you, Susan. It's great to be on. So I've always been a heavy-duty spiritual seeker, had lots of big experiences. I wrote that book about general spirit, universal spirituality. Mostly what I do is dream work, talking to people over the phone or through Skype about dreams and what they're trying to tell them. Dreams are usually only shared in the context of an established therapeutic relationship. But I know that there are people out there who are just fine, and all they want to do is know what that blasted dream means.
And that they keep having, huh?
Right, yes. Well, especially if it's like repetitive or a nightmare, then really want to know what it's saying. And the first session's free. I mean, the people who go for this usually don't have, quote-unquote, dream therapy sessions more than once or twice a month. So the first session's free. I'll get to know you. You tell me the dream. We'll go over all the symbols. We'll look at alternate possibilities. We'll nail down the most appropriate possible meaning, and we'll get some recommendations as to what to do next. So that's sort of what it's about. And after that, $25 for a one-hour phone or Skype session. That's mainly what I'm doing. So, yeah, it's great to be on. And the book's available as well. David at worldspirituality.com. Email me at that address.
And I just want to tell people that when people ask me about a general book to read on spirituality, I recommend David's book because I think it's one of the best out there.
Yeah, it's thank you. Thank you for that plug. I put some pictures and word balloons in there. It can be sort of, systematic, kind of rigorous, even dull reading, but I've tried to write in a lively fashion, even while getting very factual, philosophical stuff across, but also made it interesting and fun and stimulating, which a lot of stuff out there is not. So, yeah, right. You love the book.
Just try reading your Rancha.
Right.
If you can get, well, it's good to read when you're going to go to sleep, probably.
Yeah, right.
Talking about going to sleep, what sort of intentions can you do before you go to sleep to help with lucid dreaming?
Well, it's interesting. Anyone can increase the likelihood that they will have a lucid dream, all right? But you really only what seems to help, and this is something which a number of lucid dream authors agree on, is that you do need a sort of a plan, and you do need to be interested enough to explore things, and you need a specific goal. Okay, you need a specific goal. Other than that, in general, spiritual practices like meditation, and there are some trance techniques you can do, of course, but mainly you need to be enthusiastic about the idea and to have a specific goal in mind. Okay, so lucid dreaming is really, it's about exploring deeper reality, exploring your mind, your subconscious, but you need a specific plan to do it, to really make it more likely to happen.
So what would you advise people to do?
Well, they should meditate, definitely. Take a big interest in spirituality, bigger than they are currently doing. Think about specific things that you really want to experience more of, that you honestly want to explore more deeply. Get a journal, write it down, do an affirmation before you go to bed, sitting up out loud, ideally. I will remember that I'm dreaming, and I will explore this particular topic, which is meaningful to me. Yeah, it's interesting. I went through a big phase of lucid dreaming for about 3 months years ago, It's happened very occasionally ever since, but that 3 months was powered by a spiritual agency, a living guru. But a lot of people take a more secular orientation. They're not particularly interested in mystical spiritual paths or gurus. But, of course, everybody has a spirituality, and we just want to explore it kind of in our own way. And having that specific intention, that specific interest of wanting to explore specific things, meditating and taking an interest in spirituality, that's really the main things you can do to increase the likelihood of a dreaming lucidly. Yeah.
So I guess we need to describe what lucid dreaming is
right.
for those who may not know it.
Yeah, it's basically having enough awareness during a dream that you're dreaming. Dreams usually happen to us. They are involuntary, but when you're aware that you're dreaming, you are lucidly dreaming. And, of course, there are different levels of that awareness. So that's basically what they are. It's not something that anybody can readily do. Like I said, you need a specific intention to meditate and so forth. There are some trance methods you can do, but the main thing is what the things that I mentioned a moment ago. So yeah, your question. I'm sorry. I think I got off track on that.
Well, I just wanted to give two examples of what I thought was lucid dreaming for me, if you don't mind.
Okay.
One is, I mentioned these before. One is that I was dreaming I was having a dream, which is kind of neat.
Right.
And then the other was I remembered in my dream that somebody told me that if I jumped off a tall building and fell and hit the ground, I'd die. So I decided to do it, and I actually did. I jumped off a high building and I hit the ground, but I didn't die. But it hurt like hell.
Right.
So wow. You see how that's lucid, you know, because in the dream you're making decisions.
Yeah, and also in most involuntary dreams, there isn't any pain that people experience when they're falling.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
but when you decide to, I guess, what would that be? Just kind of like playing around to try to determine if you could do something you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, but what's interesting about lucid dreaming is that, you know, it has tremendous potential for increasing people's level of interest in spirituality and so forth, their contact with mystical reality. But the difficult thing about it is that you have to pay attention to two things at the same time. The main difficulty with lucid dreaming, once you remember that you're dreaming, is you go through different levels of exploration of it. There are five stages that this great book I have here, a fellow named Robert Wagner, he really is probably the best authority on the topic. And he describes five phases which people go through in their mastery of lucid dreaming. The first is preoccupation with pleasures. You know, you can do all these things, have sex with whoever you want, and so forth. And you get over that after a while. Some people never do. But the most important thing though is there's this balance that you have to maintain awareness of two separate things, and this is real important. There's the dreamer, right? The separate entity experiencing the dream, and the dreaming, which is the larger entity which causes the dream to happen. Okay, if you don't maintain awareness of those two things at the same time separately. So you need to go out of your way to have an intention to remember yourself as a separate object within the dream, and then look at what's happening in the dream to check in with that as well, back and forth. That way, you actually maintain the dream to keep happening. If you don't do that, the dream will collapse, and you'll either wake up or it will become an ordinary dream.
Right.
So it's that balance between those two things, which is the difficult thing which you have to master. Yeah. And I thought also the folks who follow a spiritual tradition such as your own, a lot of this would be very, very basic. I don't know. You'll have to clue us in on that. But because you have described some dream experiences in the past, which are pretty spectacular or unusual in terms of most people's experience.
Yeah, using intent to solve problems on the in the third dimension, but you can actually solve them through the dream state, actually with a little less conflict than if you were to, say, approach somebody in the third dimension and accuse them of stealing something.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I prefer to handle things on the higher plane. I really do. I mean, I think it's a lot easier.
I'll bet. Yeah, so it's a really interesting distinction that I think listeners ought to have in mind. This I found this interesting reading this book, is, you know, if you have a secular orientation, you can explore your inner self through lucid dreaming quite effectively and quite spectacularly, but you do it more or less on your own power and on your own sense of curiosity. My experience was I had... it was definitely powered by the grace of a master, I'll say, by God or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just happened. I was aware, and I could do stuff on my own through self-agency, but I wasn't interested. I was just being shown stuff. But on the other hand, you know, you can, what happens is to the small percentage of people who find themselves having a knack with a spiritual disposition to do a lot of lucid dreaming. And even that, after somebody like that starts doing a lot of lucid dreaming, most of their dreams are ordinary still, but they do occasionally lucid dream more often than most people. So some people have a definite knack for it. But amongst those who don't, amongst that group of people, they're exploring more and more lucid dreaming, getting into more and more profound things with it. At a certain point, some entity, some voice, a teacher always comes along and says, okay, if you're going to go further, you're going to have to start taking direction. You know, mm-hmm. So they meet a teacher. You know, whether or not they're on a structured spiritual path, they meet a teacher at some point who comes along and says, "Can't go further unless you pay attention to me."
Right.
And I found that interesting because, you know, you're exploring the higher realms, and one thing that people in the mystical spirituality all realize, I think, is that however, you know, benevolent and subtle it may be, there still is a sense of ultimate authority which you end up respecting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, you know, this guy who wrote this book and a lot of other people like him who do find themselves with the aptitude for lucid dreaming do run into a teacher sooner or later and do have to respect that, you know, that there is some voice, a teacher, and he talks about various kinds of dream figures that you run into, some which have a lot of awareness, some which don't, but there's always some who say things which are important for you to hear and which you have to kind of obey in one sense or another. So yeah, you do run into teachers. You do run into teachers.
I think there's areas in the higher planes that are like cordoned off energetically.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. He
energetically,
he talks about...
you, like, I can go to a certain amount, I can go up to a certain amount and play by myself and do whatever I want, but if I want to go higher, I have to have the presence of a guide or a master in order to help me raise my energy to get up there.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, he talks about, and again, this is fascinating, you know, the difference between somebody who's on a definite structured path and someone who isn't. You know, he does talk about, and I haven't read the whole thing, it's a big book, these areas which are sort of off limits or rather, you know, access denied, you know, for now,
right.
But you're going to have to do stuff to get there.
Viewers say the same thing, David.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Remote viewers say the same thing.
Okay.
That areas are off limits to them, and they're told that.
Yeah. He uses the analogy of a sailor on the ocean, a sailor on the sea. You know, you can control the boat a little bit where you're going, but you can't control the ocean. Okay.
Right.
So, again, it's the whole thing with this balance that you have to maintain. You get good enough. So, I mean, I can remember this. I never got good enough at it through self-agency to really do this well, but I know what he's talking about. You have to maintain your awareness of yourself and an awareness of the stuff that's happening in the dream. If you don't get that ballast going back and forth, you'll lose it.
That's kind of like the boat in the ocean then.
Right, right. So another thing, and this it struck me when he talked about this, I've experienced this. I suppose at the very beginning levels, you know, in my lucid dreams, in which it wasn't all powered, in which I was had my own volition to do whatever I wanted, I found that it was often very, very difficult to move. It was like being in a river up to your chest, and trying to walk fast in a river. If you're in water, wading in water up to your chest, suddenly you want to run or walk quickly. It's very difficult. It's very sluggish, you know. And he says that's because of your own ambivalence. At a deeper level, you don't totally believe that this is a real, sincere other plane of reality.
Hmm.
And so you experience sluggishness. You can't move your limbs quickly, just as you would if you were in a river trying to run. You can't run quickly. I experienced that, you know. So folks this is like 30 years ago. But if you really, and this is, you know, one thing about recalling dreams in general. The first thing to check in with, if you don't remember dreams like you want to, is your own beliefs and assumptions about them. Okay, mm-hmm. A lot of people will give lip service to the idea of that you know, dreams really, really do represent other realities and that they do represent sincere messages from God and so forth. But deep down, they don't buy it for themselves. You know, so I think that's interesting that people should be aware that their own conceptions and ideas affect how well they dream and whether or not they can recall dreams well.
So what are some of the different qualities of dreams that that like you can differentiate? Are there certain dreams that have certain qualities and feelings, and then other that change depending on the level you're at?
I don't know about levels. What I can mm-hmm. tell you is that probably the one thing that's evident to everybody is that dreams have different levels of vividness. Okay, mm-hmm. There are occasional experiences when your experience in a dream is just as vivid and real as your experience in real life,
right.
But not overall. Okay, I think that the stages that you go through in lucid dreaming to me are quite interesting. You can first you get over having all these pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you get into understanding manipulation and movement, how to change things with your mind, be able to move around effectively. Then you start to conduct experiments. You can change the whole dreamscape. And you can actually, you know, you have an issue in real life that you have trouble with psychologically. Say you have a hang-up with somebody or something. And mm-hmm. if you can remember that issue in a lucid dream, then you can actually create the issue in front of you by mm-hmm. thinking in the right way. And that has to be linked to emotions. You can't just, it has to be, you have to actually have some feeling, some juice behind it. And so you create it. So you create the issue, and it manifests in some way, maybe as a bull or an elephant or the actual person or what have you. And it can be aggressive. I mean, things will... you can't control everything in a lucid dream. And after people have been lucid dreaming for a while, they typically will experience things which can be aggressive or troublesome. And, of course, those things are your issues that you have to work on. But not usually. Not usually. Yeah.
I had told you before that sometimes if I'm not sure what I'm going to do in a surgery, I'll have a dream and do it three or four different ways, and when I wake up, I know exactly how I need to do it.
Yeah,
so that's an
yeah.
example of solving a problem in a dream. That
it's
really great because when you wake up, you know exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Does that happen on? You can't do that at will, is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often because usually I know what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's like, but you know, other scientists have done the same thing. Wasn't there? You told the story about the guy that developed the benzene ring. You know, he was
right.
working on that and couldn't figure it out, and then had dreams of, you know,
a snake grabbing his tail.
Snake.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of famous inventions have come about through dreams. Probably the most famous example is the sewing machine. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Elias Howe, I think it was. He this king in this dream sentenced him to be burned by these savages, by his men, unless he could come up with a solution to this problem. And
there you go.
Yeah, he was looking at the spears that these soldiers mm-hmm. were carrying, and the spear had a hole, and the spear heads had holes in them.
That's amazing.
And he realized that's what I need to do to build a sewing machine. That was the missing piece.
That was the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be real obvious, would it? I mean,
no, not at all. Yeah. You have to, thinking outside the box is not easy, you know. So, yeah, lucid dreaming is really, really incredible. I think it has a lot of potential for helping people grow spiritually. Not everybody can do it easily. But I think it's really important to look at the things that prevent people from doing it. Mm-hmm. Fear of the unconscious is a big one. You know, people don't want to mess with unconscious processes. And that can include some psychologists who are trained in sort of a traditional mode. You know, some people think that they don't deserve to have dreams like that happen to them. And then there's concern for the message of the dream. The idea is that if you mess with the dream itself, then it won't get a chance to tell you what it means to tell you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the other hand, the dreaming, as it were, whatever causes the dreaming, God, what have you, doesn't want us to be unconscious. You know, mm-hmm. it makes sense that we should be more conscious in dreams, because sometimes we also don't understand the message. Okay. And what also prevents people from being more interested in lucid dreaming is the idea that it's a way from escaping personal growth. And it can be if you get hung up on pleasures for your whole life. But, you know, you have to be aware not to be preoccupied by things, and to get over these old social conditioning ideas of, you know, the subconscious and so forth. It's out there for people to explore, definitely.
Now, some people have prophetic dreams, and prophetic dreams have a little bit different quality.
Yeah, I think my experience with prophetic dreams is that, well, all dreams, I think that this is an important thing to get out there. In my experience, I think in the experience of most dream workers who are at all spiritually inclined, most dreams have an inherent psychic quality to them. There's always something which they're trying to tell you which you cannot pick up through your normal senses. And that is usually just implied, okay? But yeah, prophetic dream, something really powerful, which has a definite, you know, there's something about whether how vivid it is, the very powerful feelings it evoked, you know, there's something really profound about it. Usually how visually vivid it is, sometimes what's said, how loud and definitely something is said. But there's usually always a feeling quality to it, which kind of sets it apart. So it's kind of similar to the difference between a true visitation dream, right? And a regular dream in which a relative shows up, he only functions as a symbol. Mm-hmm. Okay, a real visitation dream happens when there's real emotional feeling or power connected with the presence of the person, as well as and or him or her telling you something important in real life. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between a real visitation dream and a typical symbolic dream in which your grandfather, whoever, shows up as a symbol. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so prophetic dreams are important. I had a big message dream about 2 weeks ago, and this is really, really interesting. I'm intentionally not working full-time right now in order to develop this. Well, I had a dream about 2 weeks ago now. It was one of those 3 seconds flash dreams, not really an ordinary dream at all. I'm in this corporate office, right? I'm seeing this female executive. I hear a big voice says, Bank of America. Then a not quite so loud voice says, Technical Writer, which I used to do. Then a softer voice says, Customer Relations. Then the biggest voice of all, 1 year.
Mm.
So that is a directive of some kind.
Right.
I don't know whether to take it literally or not. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I need to do something by way of going back to work for a while. That's for
right.
sure. I know that. What and where, I'm not sure yet. So that is a directive.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of directives began happening to me after I got my big initiation about 33 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned some of those. Yeah. Yeah. And he talks about, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. He talks about six reality-creating principles.
Mm-hmm.
In lucid dreaming. Focus, beliefs, expectations, intent, will, and then the X factor, he calls it, or the dreaming. There's the dreamer, again, the dreamer who's doing the dream, and then there's the dreaming, which is the larger entity which is causing things to happen on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So those six things are what he calls reality-creating principles. It's very interesting. And yeah, dreams, lucid dreams don't happen to me nearly as often as they used to, but every so often I'll have one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was the name of that book that you referenced again?
Lucid Dreaming, Gateway to the Inner Self, Robert Wagoner.
Okay.
Yeah. Wagoner. Probably the best book on lucid dreaming. Very comprehensive. Yeah. Stages and pleasures. What else is good? I was interested, though. It struck me that, you know, folks who are on a sort of a structured esoteric path, such as yourself, it could almost be described as, quote-unquote, organized lucid dreaming, you might say. Or maybe not. Maybe that's completely inaccurate. I wanted to get your reaction to that.
Well, I think I need to pay more attention to my dreams in order to be able to answer that question. Certainly, when I need to be warned about something,
right.
My prophetic dreams are right on. I mean, they're very, I know they're prophetic. I know what they mean. I take action, and it's very important that I take that action.
Are they usually literal instead of symbolic?
No, they're literal.
Yeah, okay.
The other day, a couple of months ago, I had a dream that somebody was waiting to kill me, you know, waiting to kill me. And literally, somebody was waiting to kill me. So I found out about it, and I handled it, but it was, I would not have known if I hadn't had that dream. And it was very literal. It was like, it gave me the exact location, and exactly what I needed to do about it. I followed those exact instructions, and I'm not dead today because I did. You know, and there was confirmation at a very high level that physical confirmation that
mm-hmm.
somebody was trying to kill me. So
wow,
you know, yeah,
wow. Yeah,
I'm doing some things that are pissing people off surgically, and
right,
they were taking action against me, and it was not just me; it was the entire team. A car bomb blew up in a guy that was doing frequency analysis for these patients, and the main person running the whole program had poison sent to her. She's clairvoyant, however, and she said it was the eighth time they tried to poison her. But she's also protected spiritually.
Wow.
And and then another member of the team who had been writing books and appearing on Coast to Coast was hit with a microwave weapon and given a heart attack several months ago. And it was interesting because I was guided, not in a dream, but just in meditation to have a microwave detector on me at all time and sleep in a Faraday cage before I ever started this work. So obviously, you know, when you're in this kind of business, you better pay attention to what you're told.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
not for the faint of heart at all. But in the same week, three of us were attacked.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So anyway, my dreams are lucid, they're prophetic, and if I had not paid attention to them, we may not be having this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, boy. How long ago was that?
About 2 or 3 months ago.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
And I'm not sure it's over yet. I don't know for sure it is. I know that they've backed off a little bit because of the intervention that occurred, the physical intervention that occurred.
Right.
But you know, they, I think they have other plans. I think they, yeah. I keep hearing things on the inner planes that they're thinking about doing.
Yeah. Wow. You see, these are you're referencing the kinds of experiences that very, very few people have. I've had some prophetic dreams of that sort, not often at all. The thing to emphasize for most listeners is that all dreams, in my experience, and in the experience I think of most dream workers who are spiritually inclined, are implicitly or inherently psychic. But you have to figure them out. You know, they happen because dreams for me are the natural faculty we all have as human beings to get information from higher spiritual reality. It's everybody has the faculty. There are people who have special gifts like clairvoyance and so forth. But everybody dreams, and everybody can recognize, develop, pay attention to them and tune into a better course of action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say this. I've met a lot of people who had prophetic dreams and were very frightened by them. You know, I met people who had dreams exactly of 9/11, you know, the planes flying into the tower like a week before it happened, or major plane crashes and
right.
or major, loved ones dying, and then they did. You know, we need to not think that these prophetic dreams are any way involved in us, you know. I mean, we're given the dream, and sometimes we're just given the dream to show us that prophetic dreams exist. It's
yeah.
not that we can do anything about it, especially these big things. But I want to have people understand that it's information. It's not, you don't have to get emotionally upset or involved with it. Do you know what I mean? It's like
one important thing to understand about if you find yourself dreaming a lot and getting into more profound dreams, whether through a spiritual path or not, a lot of it is just educational and exposure.
Right,
it's just
right.
Exposure.
It doesn't mean that you're supposed to do something about it.
It's, right, I went through the spectacular
series. Unless you're told to do something about it. You know, I was kind of guided to some things to do, and I needed to do them. But, you know, if I had a dream about some disaster in the future, I mean, it's not my responsibility to stop that disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just information, like you say.
Right, it's information. It's exposure and education.
Right,
You know, the only ET I ever met, I met on some higher than usual plane that I go to about 35 years ago. And I guess he was, I don't know who he was. He was or Gompi, something, whatever his name was. But it was a really cool experience. And it was essentially exposure. There is a higher reality. There are these other planes of existence, these other beings who are more spiritually attuned and so forth than we are do inhabit them. And we can benefit from contact with them. I didn't know that, but I learned it, you know. And so, you know, a lot of what people go through in dreams is essentially meant to open them to higher reality and get people thinking
That's
about
exactly
what they can do
right.
spiritually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess we should mention nightmares, because some people struggle with nightmares. And
right.
I know, I'll tell you a short story about my father. My father was having these nightmares, and I said to him, I said, well, just turn and face them. And he did, and he said they just dissolved. You know, he hadn't thought about that. He was the chasing dreams, you know. I said, well, just turn around and face whatever it is. And he did, and he said everything dissolved. It was fine. That's all he had to do.
Right. Now, of course,
that was the lesson of the dream.
Right, right.
Face your fears.
Exactly.
You know, turn around, face them, and then they'll go away.
Right. Now, chase dreams, of course, are very common. It always refers to some responsibility or issue that you're not paying attention to in some way or other. What I do want to tell people to do when they ask me this question, I've never been asked this question yet, but I think I will be in the future. If you're experiencing a dream of being chased by something, and again, you can't just if someone tells you to turn around, go ahead and turn around and face a person in the dream next time it happens. Most people can't do that because they're not lucid.
Right.
So I think what people can do to increase the likelihood of lucidity in that kind of situation, if you're experiencing a dream of being chased, say by a man with a knife or something like that. You can actually rehearse it in real life. But, I mean, literally set up a little stick figure in your living room, you know, and run away from it. And then turn around and say, why are you chasing me? What's going on? I mean, I think if you really rehearse that physically in your living room 5 times, then you will remember in your dream to do it.
Right. Yeah.
See what I mean? Where you otherwise wouldn't, because most people aren't lucid enough to remember. So that's something which you can't know. But nightmares in general are thought to be the most important type of dream by most dream workers, because they're the ones who are saying, hey, stupid, you got to do something about this now.
Right.
You know, they're saying, trying to, you're basically, there's some issue which you're doing your best to ignore.
Right.
Nightmares and also repetitive dreams of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people, we all have lifelong issues of some kind or another, which aren't serious and which are occasionally reflected in our dreams. But my view is, I think that any repetitive dream is trying to get something across, and it shouldn't be happening. There's always something you can do which can fine-tune things to prevent that from happening, because, you know, obviously it's trying to tell you something, and there's got to be something you can do to fine-tune your life, change things a little bit, to address that issue, you know. So repetitive dreams are—they happen for a reason, and we can gradually attune ourselves to what's causing them and get over it. Yeah.
Repetitive dreams might be trying to warn you something about something in your environment too.
Yeah.
I think didn't you have a story about that with your car?
Yeah, I had it. Not repetitive, but I did have one, well, half prophetic dream, and it happened while I was meditating. This was a very, very stressful period when I was living in Decatur, Georgia, next to where you are. And I was going through a lot of stuff, and I wasn't paying attention to my car at all. So I'm meditating, right, in my puja, my meditation spot. I fall asleep. The light turns on by itself, click, dink. But just before that happened, I went sort of deep into sort of a dream state. I slumped downwards, my head drooped forwards. I kind of went to sleep. I went inside, had this vision of myself driving out onto the perimeter highway and getting into an accident. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, when the accident happened, this yellowish blue light kind of surrounded the whole scenario. And I understood that to mean that I would either be dead or very seriously injured, you know.
Right.
So, and then a voice said, check it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I go outside and start looking at my tires and other things, and lo and behold, there was this big blister coming out of one side of my tire.
Wow.
So if I'd driven out there onto the highway,
yeah,
boom,
you would have had a blowout and probably hit somebody.
At 60 miles an hour. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can benefit from paying attention to our dreams, and it's amazing. You know, people, we shouldn't be afraid of our subconscious. We do deserve to have these kinds of dreams, especially now with the country going through, the world going through all the crazy things that are happening. We shouldn't be afraid to alter the message which the dream is telling us. If we have an opportunity to do things in our dreams, then we should try to be as lucid as we can. And that also translates over into ordinary life, of course. Like, I noticed that after my first big initiation that I began experiencing reality. I don't just see objects in a reality anymore. I also see, like, the background fabric that all reality kind of is made of. It's very subtle, but everything is situated in this fabric or ether.
I call it a lattice work, because I can see it too.
The matrix. Sure. It's like, you know.
Have you ever like done the exercise where you made you were meditating on the bed and you made the ceiling disappear into the lattice work? It's really neat.
No.
You can just dissolve things into the lattice work and just, it's really interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You can really open up it to the next level.
Yeah, I think that a good way to communicate my experience to what I think most people can relate to is, I may have mentioned this before, when you're at a big aquarium and you look through the tank and there's this big tank and there's a scuba diver in the tank next to a big fish or something like that, you know, you can see the experience of this lattice work or matrix that I experience on a very, very subtle level. It's the same as, you know, you perceive the water just as much as you perceive the scuba diver.
That's what they're in, yeah.
Right, right. That's kind of what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is true that, there is a structure here that is behind the objects that we see.
Yeah.
They called it the ethers, I think, at one point.
Well, in ancient times, the notion of the ether referred to the notion was that there is this superstructure, very deep framework, if you will, that the whole universe is built upon. It turned out not to exist, at least not in the sense that physicists thought it did. The Michelson-Morley experiment in early 20th century physics took care of that. But the ether exists, but not in the sense that we would tend
to
think it does.
Just not in the physical plane.
Right, not in the physical plane. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dark matter and dark energy is interesting. Dark matter
it sure
and dark
is.
Energy is not in this dimension.
It's most, I mean, apparently that's about three-fourths of the universe is dark matter and dark energy.
Yeah, so you can't think of the third dimension as all that is.
No, definitely not.
You see, you have to think of the multidimensional universe as a whole in order to understand these concepts.
Yeah, well, what they call the multiverse in the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. And here we get into alternate realities. That there isn't just one unfolding reality. There's apparently, and there are different interpretations of quantum mechanics, but this is the one that works the most, that really reconciles as most of the mathematics, apparently. There are, in many worlds, an infinite number of parallel universes existing along with this one. And what seems to happen, and this is, of course, I went to this dream conference in California a few months ago, and there was one speaker there, Don Middledorf, who spoke about alternate realities in connection with dreaming. He mentioned the Seth material, which I'm really not that familiar with.
Apparently, I read everything.
Yeah, that particular medium, I mean, there's hundreds of pages, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of that material.
Great stuff on parallel realities.
Yeah, it's apparently very, very detailed about parallel realities.
Yep.
And, of course, that's an old theme in science fiction. But just, you know, apparently it's like anything you're dreaming, or all of us have a reality. And at any point, if we go forward in time, there's an infinite number of other things that we could possibly do, but we don't do.
Right.
And all those exist as parallel realities. You still have free will because there are reasons why the reality that we're in is most likely to be, you know, the center of reality, if you will. But there are all these other realities. There's no reason in theory why you can't go back and restructure the time that you've gone through. So
you
certain
can go
events
back and change the past.
Right. You can go back. Apparently, a number of events happen in your life. You go through your day, which consists of a certain series of events. You can, in theory, go back and reorder it if you had enough awareness.
Yep.
Okay.
People say that they do that.
Yeah, that's and so
you can also go ahead and learn from your future self about how to solve a current problem.
Well, you know, one thing about that's interesting because he says I was looking in preparing for our talk today. I was looking at Wikipedia, the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, which is the best interpretation, which kind of has the field. One of the things which they mention is that there are no longer any time travel paradoxes because everything's happening at once anyway, sort of.
Right.
But say a little more about what you just mentioned. You can learn from a future self. I've never had that experience.
We learned about it during a spiritual session where we were being taught by higher dimensional beings that if you're having a problem that you cannot solve, I mean, right. You know, you can't solve it. You tried the dream state. You try, you know, whatever. You just don't have a solution for it. That you can intend to get advice from a future self, because a future self has already been through it.
Right. Yeah.
And so you can do that. And you can do it in meditation. You can do it in dream state. I mean, yeah, there's a number of different realities you can do it in, but you can ask your future self to give you the solution to a current problem.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
of course, your future self's going to know it. You know, I mean,
right,
you're not going to keep
right.
the problem forever.
Right. I might mention also for our listeners out there who may be having trouble with this notion that you can, you know, dreams are thought by some people to, you know, not reflect psychic forces or, you know, supernatural knowledge coming down through some psychic channel or higher dimensions. But in a lot of cases, the valuable so-called psychic information you get through dreams comes about as a result of slowly accumulating subconscious knowledge in this reality. So as a result of really subtle things which you're picking up on a subconscious basis, you can project things into the future, which are very, very, very likely to take place. But, you know, most of us who are into dream work do accept the paradigm of these higher realities. So that's good. But I wanted to mention that thing about subconscious accumulation of knowledge. The Jungians prefer that interpretation, that way of looking at it. Yeah. So, alternate realities, many world interpretations. We live in a multiverse, they say, of gargantuan proportions, as it were. And the single narrative of your life is a delusion. We all have multiplicities. Okay, we're not only one person. There are countless versions of each of us. Some which are more successful, some which are less successful. And you do have free will because although you know anything can happen. And everything has already happened. There's still a sense in which, you know, that certain things are more likely to happen because they are more likely to manifest. So free will does continue to be important. What is your own sense of free will in the spiritual work that you do? I'm curious about that.
Okay. Well, would you like to give your contact information once again, David?
Sure. David Lowe, david@worldspirituality.com. The email, the website is David Lowe MSP. No E on the name. David Lowe MSPhD.com. DreamWorks is my big thing. Give me a call, 215-948-3143. By all means, call me about dreams, and we can set up a free session check out, talk about your dreams. Yeah, but david@worldspirituality.com. That's the main address to bear in mind.
Is there any final thoughts you would like to leave the listening audience with today?
I would leave just to pay attention to their dreams, you know, adopt some kind of spiritual practice. That will increase the likelihood that you will dream, that you'll be able to remember your dreams. And they're important. They are trying to tell us stuff. We do have that higher dimension. The kinds of experiences that, you know, Susan and I have talked about today are accessible to all of us. We just have to want it badly enough and realize that dimension of our being can be activated, as it were, with enough interest. Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, David. We've been speaking about lucid dreaming and alternative realities. This is a spiritual path that is open to anybody who would like to, I guess it's as simple as just writing down your dreams when you wake up and having some intents before you go to bed, and maybe using meditation as a spiritual practice and asking for higher guidance to help you with the problems in your life or to just explore new realities.
Yeah, and contemplate this reality. Is this all there is? Look at the future. What's happening in the planet? What role does each of us have to play in transforming things for the better. We're human beings. We're not just animals who eat, sleep, reproduce, and drink beer, then die. There's more to us than that. What makes us special? What makes us unique? Our level of awareness of reality, our awareness of a higher dimensions of reality, which other species probably don't have, at least the ones on our planet, the ones that evolved. Other mammals probably don't have as much awareness as we do. We don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure, but it's a reasonable assumption. So we are special, and we should specialize in what makes us special, which is that higher awareness, that capacity for higher awareness. Yo.
And the other thing that's really important is that if indeed the multiverse reality is true, which I believe it is, you want to end up in the world that is much nicer to live in. You want to live up in the world where you can trust your neighbor, where you don't have to lock everything up all the time, when you don't have to worry about bankers creating false accounts and charging you, fees for doing that, or con men trying to get through your computer, or the danger of World War III because of North Korea. You don't want to really end up in a world that we're seeing unfolding. So what I would say is that if you put your intent and your effort into going into a better world, then that's probably the world you're going to end up in. So may be very important right now to take these spiritual practices a little more seriously.
Yeah, and really, when you do these practices, you actually contribute to an underlying vibration which does assist the planet in harmonizing things. We do contribute by simply doing practices. There's this thing which people, traditionally think that Christian monks and so forth in the monasteries are doing nothing at all. They're just escaping the world. No. It's their occupation to be a monk.
Right.
It is precisely because those kinds of people exist that things are still hang on together, that the universe hasn't fallen apart. That's why the universe hasn't fallen apart yet, because people like that are out there, and all of us who are into praxis are out there and realize that there's higher dimensions to life, that we do affect things beneficially just by doing practices.
We do, and we can affect a lot more than we know. That's the thing. That's the beauty. At the higher levels of spiritual instruction, you begin to realize that a few higher level initiates and masters can change things for the better for everyone. It doesn't take a huge number of people to make this planet a lot better.
But it does take a critical mass. We need more folks on board.
Yes.
That's for sure.
So the more people that start spiritual practices, the easier it is for everyone. That's
dreams are the most common and immediately evident means that we all have of tuning into that.
Mm-hmm.
They represent our natural capacity for accessing higher spiritual and psychic knowledge. That's what they're for. They do have psychobiological functions, but those are secondary. The main importance of dreams has to do with our spiritual dimension and our ability to pay attention to them, Yeah, I mean, 9 out of 10, nine out of 10 people can benefit by paying more attention to their dreams than they do.
Right.
So, yeah, it's real important, real important.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, David. I appreciate it, and we'll have you back on soon to talk about other topics.
All right. Thank you so much, Susan. It's always great to be on. Take care.
Great. This is
Bye-bye.
Dr. Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Kent Boxberger will be on next week, Balanced Living in Crazy World Conditions, and Ken Roha, Clearing Radioactivity, at the end of the month. Thank you very much for joining us. Please join us next week.